It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breads on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 438-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
When you move in right up close to me, that's when I get the shakes all over me. Quivers down the backbone, I got the shakes down the knee bone. Yeah, the tremors in the thigh bone, shaking all over.
We're back a little bit past the top of the hour. Brett Calhoun's back. He came back with Mr. Money on Saturday night. And I'm trying to think back to the Pat Day Mile conversation, because I'm sure I asked about stretching back out or staying at one turn. And the opportunity to participate on Saturday night and stretch back out, in fact, worked out okay. The Matt win and absolute dominant effort. And Brett Calhoun joins us. Congratulations.
Thanks a lot. Good morning.
You know, I'm going to stop trying to figure out these kinds of moves. Because I thought he looked so good, you know, cutting back to the one turn mile. I thought, well, you know, here's a horse for the Jerkins. And I think we talked about that. But talk about the decision to stretch him back to a mile and a 16th.
Well, I think the easy thing would have been to maybe point towards the Woody Stevens or something, and and you could have come back in a Dwyer and things like that. But here's the situation. Once you've got them stretched out there, you kind of need to make the commitment and figure out what direction you're going to go, in my mind. So there's a race right there in our own backyard. We're walking right out of his stall at a mile 16th and find out that when you keep this horse at one turn or two. Obviously, if he can stretch out to the two turns, it opens a lot more windows. So that's what we did. We felt like it kept our horse fresh, kept him at home, and tried to evaluate where he would be going next. Would be shorter or longer. And I think we learned that he can go on the two turns like we always thought he could. That was the decision there. Is we were trying to keep our horse fresh. We were trying to figure out if he was two turns or not. If he would have failed Saturday night, you'd have probably been seeing him with Dwyer next.
You know, and on this topic, because it occurs to me that not only did you do this successfully, but so did Baffert with yesterday with Mucho Gusto. And these are both horses that, you know, during the lead up to the classics, Brett, everybody was like, well, these horses look like they'll long term, they'll be better one turn. And you both, you know, stretched back out. How much of this in your experience? And of course, this was, you know, you had your first Derby starter, you know, going back. But on this front, when these horses are, you know, young 3 year olds, how much of it, you know, is experience and them understanding what's being asked of them, or, you know, learning to rate, you know, because some people, you know, would just automatically assume, okay, he's a one turner, we're not going to try again.
Well, obviously, a lot of it is the horse and how he handles all those changes. And the one thing that I was impressed with Saturday night was the moderate fractions and Mr. Money being able to rate right off the leader. He tugged on and gave a little bit. They turned up the backside, and then he kind of dropped his head. And when he kind of dropped his head and settled in, my heart got pretty big at that point. But that's what I needed to see. Obviously, at the one turn, the Pat Day Mile, they were rolling down the backside like they do in those one-turn races, and he went on from there. I think at the two turns, obviously, they've got to learn to settle. And he showed me that he's capable of doing that Saturday night.
Well, and you know, now is starting to, you know, obviously build a serious resume with the back-to-back graded stake wins, you know, two grade threes, and, you know, Gabe Saez gets along with him so well. What's on your mind? He took a step forward on the scoring scale as well, up to a 98 buyer, so he's knocking on the door among the best figures run by a three-year-old this year.
Yeah, you know, we had two thoughts before that race. We were going one of two ways. Like I said, we were going to the Dwyer at the one-turn mile, or we were talking about the Indiana Derby at a mile 16th. So that's kind of our first thought. But after Saturday night, I opened my thoughts up a little bit to the Haskell also. I was waiting to see that race yesterday, the Pegasus and the race in California, and we'll continue to watch races and horses develop towards the Haskell. If it's a race that we think we can absolutely win, we'll probably take our shot there. It's a grade one in a million. If we think that maybe there's a couple of them that are a little bit farther along than us right now, then we'll take the low road and go to the Indiana Derby. It's a two-hour ship from here. He trains out of his own stall, ships over there, and back that night. So it's an easier deal to the Indiana Derby. $500,000 is a nice purse. And so those are our two thoughts going forward. We'll just kind of see how it plays out.
Excellent. Excellent. And obviously, you know, the allied stable front, this just gets more and more fun for the whole team.
Well, they're going very well right now. They put in a lot into it, and they're getting a lot out of it right now. They get a lot of enjoyment out of it. It's been a fun ride for all of us. And, you know, I think Chester and Jennifer are a big part of the success because they kind of allow the horse and me to dictate what direction they go in, and they've let us take our time and do the right things by them.
Well, Mr. Money, the Golden Sense cult that, you know, really kind of leading the train for Golden Sense, really, if you think about it. It certainly one of the, you know, one of the more, right now, I would say, you know, hot first crop stallions, and, you know, based on, you know, the reception behind the yearlings and the two-year-olds behind him. But Mr. Money doing a lot for Golden Sense, and this was bred by Spruce Lane out of the Tisnow mare, Plenty of Tool. So this is nice. It was a big night for Gabe Saez. It occurred to me as I was wrapping up with Dallas just before, Brett, that, you know, he won for Michelle Lovell to start the night and then later won the Arabian race.
Yeah, he's pretty well-rounded, isn't he? He's riding a grade three, three-year-olds and then coming back with a win in the Arab race. So he had a big night.
Well, and, you know, I'll follow up with some of the things that Dallas said. It, you know, you've had a terrific meet, obviously, and it's been a banner spring, and, you know, things right now at Churchill and really the whole year-round circuit bodes well in Kentucky. Talk about, you know, wrapping up there next few weeks.
You know, the way the purse structure is right now, I wish it would go on forever. You hate for it to end, but it has gone well. You know, this business is so cyclical. It's like a roller coaster. It's up and down. We got a pretty much a miserable winter, and then the spring came along. Things have taken off and going very well. You have to be able to stomach the lows, but right now it's going well. And Churchill's had a phenomenal meet. The purse structure's gotten tremendous. And of course, that just enhances field size, which enhances the handle. And it's a great cycle going on right now here at Churchill Downs.
Well, and for you coming up here the next week through must got to be Thursday and Friday. You've got Shanghai Rain on Thursday with Gabe, and then Soap Bubble on Friday with Adam Vakiza.
Yeah, you know, Shanghai Rain's done well for us, and, you know, she's just missed in a couple of those non-three-year-old filly races, we have high expectations for her in that spot. Soap Bubble, he's had a couple of tough beats in the AO van. He's not really that fond of the Churchill strip. He really likes the Kingland racetrack, and he took a couple of tough beats over there, just bad trips, got trapped in the rail. So he runs good here. I just don't think he's at his best. The weather forecast this week looks like a lot of rain, and I'm almost hoping that it does kind of keep this racetrack tight and maybe more to his liking.
Nice. You're also fully involved down in Louisiana and at Lone Star, too. And I do want to ask you about one horse at Lone Star coming up at the end of the week. Where did it go? I had it. Better Than Mo on Saturday. And you're bringing a gun to a knife fight here. This isn't right. You can't be bringing Uncle Mo Texas breads for Mr. Scarborough. That's not fair.
Well, it's kind of funny. Actually, it's not a Texas bread, but
isn't it? Oh, okay, I thought it was. All right, I thought it was a Texas bread group.
But we had the, you know, I've trained most of that family. That mare's been really good to us, and it's funny. They have bred her mainly through some Texas stallions, and then she's produced quite a few stakes winners for us. So they jumped up and bred her to Uncle Mo. And we like this filly. I don't think she's necessarily a 5/8 of a mile filly. Mr. Scarborough, they're conservative. Him and Ken Carson, who runs it for him, they're more on the conservative side. They'd rather let him develop against a little bit lesser. And that's kind of what we're doing, because we don't think she's necessarily a 5/8 of a mile horse. So, you know, she's not one that, to me, is going to stand out in there. And it may look like it breeding-wise. We do like the filly, and she sure might win. But she's not a 5/8 mile type horse, and that's kind of why she's there and starting there. I hope you'll see her at a new theater somewhere else real soon, but it's a good place for her to start.
It was the dam going back that was that came out of Texas, actually. And I'm just looking now. And that family, you mentioned some stake winners. This was the dam of that WV Jet Setter that ended up getting bought by Randy Hill and the Reeves. And also that nice More Than Most as well. How about this? And you're right, Brett. I mean, she was productive with the most.
She was bred to the teaser a couple of times back there, I think, just about. This mare has been very, very productive. So I'm glad to see her get a good shot. They're breeding her to some really nice stallions now. And it's been a solid female line for the Scarborough family and Valor Farm.
Well, just to give everybody the full story here, her first babies, her first five, well, there was one that didn't make it to the races, but then she went to Gold Legend and got a $100,000 earner. She went to Wimbledon and got World Venturer, who was a multiple stake winner, made $268,000. Then Jet Phone got WV Jet Setter, almost $200,000. Indigo Mountain got More Than Most with her, $272,000, eight-time winner. Then Flight Queen with Early Flyer has already made $78,000. And then she's now been covered by Into Mischief, Uncle Mo, Ghost Zapper, Union Rags.
Yeah. So I think the future looks pretty bright for her. She's
how about that?
She's done well with not a lot of help, and now she's being bred to some pretty nice stallions,
I would say. And so we'll keep an eye out. And she herself was unraced, but nice. Well, you know, speaking of some breeding and early horses, what's the 2-year-old picture look like? It's come once I get past Triple Crown, I start asking about 2-year-olds.
You know, it's interesting. This year we really didn't crank anything up early. Last year we won a couple races at Kingland, the 2-year-olds in the spring, and then on to Churchill. And this year we didn't really have anything that we felt was early enough to try. So we're just now starting to bring some in. We've got a few getting ready here in the next few weeks. And then most of the ones that are, quote, perceived to be the better ones are just now coming into the barn and are a long way away. You won't see them to the fall. So we did things a little differently this year. It was by plan, by design. It just happened to be what we had bought. And some of the ones that were raised, they just were a different kind. They just weren't the early ones. So it's going to be the fall before we really figure out what our 2-year-olds are, but we have some very nice prospects.
Well, in the meantime, you got a barn full of nice older horses and 3-year-olds and such. And I should ask about a couple before we go. Silver Dust, what's going on?
Silver Dust, there's a good chance he shows up in Indiana the same day as the Indiana Derby over there. They've got a stake over there on a dirt, a listed stake that we may go there. We had thought about running Saturday night in Stephen Foster. That the water got a little too deep there, and we just wanted to take a little different path there. So that's probably the next probable spot for him.
Well, and post-Derby, by my standards, activities, got back to working on June 1st, went a nice half mile, and followed it up with 5/8. You must be thinking about a target already.
His last work was phenomenal. I mean, he worked tremendous. And I'd planned on working him again this weekend, and he bruised a foot, and so we missed our work this weekend. Hopefully we'll be back on track here in the next few days, I'm hoping. And we had originally thought maybe about going to the Iowa Derby with him, and that would kind of allow us to move into some other spots off that. And I'm not quite sure, now that I've missed this work this week, what direction we're going. But like I said, his work a week ago Friday before last, was phenomenal. So hopefully getting back on track real soon.
What's your general read on coming out of Derby and what it took out of him, and you know, having to deal with that track, and it was nobody's ideal circumstance. what was the overall experience?
Overall, I think we came out of it pretty good. I backed off of him about 12, 13 days and just kind of freshened him up. And I just wanted to protect him a little bit because it is quite an ordeal. It's not just the race. It's the everything leading up to it, the walkover. It's pretty stressful for him. So I just left him alone for about 12 days. And he really did seem to recover pretty good and bounced out of it. I know it's a war. It's quite a battle for him to go through, and a lot of stress. But he seemed like he took it pretty well and bounced back well and really trained well his first couple works back. So I think we were fairly lucky.
Well, also, of course, a Golden Sense. And when we, after Louisiana Derby and after the Pathé Mile and such, we talked about Mr. Thomas and the way the year was going. And so there's obviously some exciting things ahead. And I bought we bought a horse from Dave Scanlon on Friday at OBS. So I hope she's half as successful as this one.
I do too. Yeah. Dave does a great job, and you can sure get a good horse running.
Well, this one, a lot of people, and of course the Louisiana Derby has proven out, not just the Derby either, Brett. I mean, the entire winter in down at Fairgrounds just keeps producing every single week. Horses are running out of those races, whether they were stakes performers or not, and succeeding. It was a very productive winter in New Orleans.
Yeah, it seems to be that way every year, and it seems like every spring we come out of there and they don't get a lot of respect out of the around the country, but they end up demanding it. By the time summer rolls around, they've showed up at all the big races and won a bunch of them and been very competitive. We have a good surface down there and pretty good weather in the winter, and it's just a good place to be and develop horses for the spring and summer.
Brett Calhoun, everybody, and another graded stake win. I think that makes four or five for you on the year, and we haven't hit the halfway point. Operating, throughout the Southwest and into the Southeast, and then of course you'll probably have, how many will you have at Ellis, and how many we're going to see here in Saratoga?
We're going to stay right here and ship from here to Ellis, and I think we're going to do the same thing for Saratoga this year. It's going to be the first year we hadn't been up there in a while, but I think we're just going to sit home. We've got to set a couple of these three-year-olds that we're going to target around the country, and I think we're going to sit right here, and we are going to participate probably in Saratoga, but we're just going to pick our spots and ship from here.
Nice. Why not? And you can save on the overhead, because it – I don't have to tell you, it's not cheap for anybody here.
You're right. I'm gonna miss the atmosphere, miss Saratoga, but I'm sure not gonna miss the bills.
Yeah, and your clients won't either. When you do that, out of curiosity, when you just ship in, how does that work on the workman's compensation? What portion do you have to go into your pocket for?
We keep a policy up in New York, and that's the only place that I have another workman's comp policy that covers every place else. Basically, the only two places it doesn't cover is California and New York, and we have an additional policy for New York. So that's how that works. And we keep that policy pretty current just because for shipping in and running, a lot of times we'll run something at Belmont or for Saratoga. So that's kind of how we do that. A separate policy.
Yeah, I was curious because it's been just a huge, huge issue for everybody here. Well, Brett, terrific evening on Saturday. Mr. Money follows up the Pat Day with a win at two turns, multiple graded stake winner on the year, and a lot of exciting things ahead for him and everybody else in the barn. Thanks as always.
Thanks a lot,
Brett Calhoun, folks, and. Brett just plugging along, clearly the two-headed Golden Sense monster, Mr. Money, and
And by my standards, getting ready to come back out of that derby and keep watching those works, and we'll see where they land. We're going to land on Johnny D when we come back. Johnny D joins us. Our friend Kev Humphreys is going to join us from Ascot next hour as well. A absolutely brilliant punter and a friend of the show, a friend of Derby Trails. Ever since he was a wee lad, when he would come over, he befriended or some of our guys befriended him. I can't remember if it was I think it was at Churchill the first time or Arlington, and then Kev and we've 15 years that we've been seeing him at Breeders' Cups and at big race dates, and a chance to talk to him and get some pushes. He sniffs out the bombs at Royal Ascot and at Cheltenham and everywhere else. So Kev Humphreys is going to join us, and I hope that word spreads, because everybody loves hearing from Kev. He'll join us in third hour. Stay with us. Johnny D joins us next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Echobase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I go out walking after midnight, out in the moonlight, just like we used to do. I'm always walking after midnight, searching for you. I walk for miles along the highway. Well, that's just my way of saying I love you. I'm always walking after midnight, searching for you.
We're back. Races coming up at the bottom of the hour. The Diaz sisters out of San Antonio. Opportunity to catch up with Johnny joining us, and we'll see what he did. I'm sure he was active yesterday in the pick six distribution at Santa Anita. 1,600 plus winners. There was only one winner, though, on Saturday in the cross-country pick five, which I thought was notable. Ended up being really tough, and I'll get to the Obeah results. That was an upset there. Arno Delacour won both of the stakes last week at Delaware Park, both the Stanton midweek with that Eons, and then came back with Gotham Gala at a nice price in the Obeah on Saturday. Johnny, good morning.
Stevie, good morning to you. In your opening, you talked about what a busy weekend it was. It sure was a busy weekend. Lots of racing, coast to coast, good racing too. And at night, Saturday night, and then Sunday, the big force out at Santa Anita. Yeah, it was a good weekend.
How did you portion out your activity? What'd you concentrate on? You had that double carryover Belmont too on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, you know, I didn't get to swing at that, but I did get to swing at the force out on Sunday at Santa Anita, and I swung and missed actually. But I agree with you in your assessment earlier this morning when you said it was, you know, you mentioned how many favorites won, how many second choices, how many third choices. It was that kind of card, I thought, going in, where I did not think it was going to chalk out like we've seen on other occasions when Santa Anita has had force outs. A couple times it's chalked out and it's been a really short payoff. I didn't think that would happen this time. I thought there were enough races that were, well, you could go 2-3 deep, but once you start to add up a couple races where you think you have to go 2 or 3 deep to nail down, and then you come up with those ones where you feel like, yeah, I might take 5 or 6 in here. It didn't feel like the horses that were the favorites were cinches. Even in the Affirm, the stakes race, where I thought it was down to Baffert, since he had 3 of the 6 runners, but I thought both of his runners, Roadster and Mucho Gusto, had certainly, I think you'd have to use, even if he did an AB, if you ranked them AB, I think you'd hate to have one of them beat you and not have the other one. And I think going in, I think Mucho Gusto had more, he certainly had more recency with that outstanding Laz Barrera romp. That was a nice race, and he had some sharp works. Whereas Roadster, more of a grinder, getting ready for the future. I mean, I think we know that Mucho Gusto has, you know, perhaps distance limitations, but he's the sharpest horse right now. So if you went AB there, or you could have gone A, but I would hate to have one of those beat you. And then I thought the last race was tough. I thought it was, the winner, I think the winner was on your ticket. But a 5-year-old maiden, it used to be you could ignore these kinds of horses, but you can't anymore. It's, racing has changed, and I think you have to kind of, you have to adjust with the way things have changed. And the horse's record's fine, except for 0-for-9, but 3 seconds. And blinkers go back on. And, there's a horse you could use, but I think there were 3 or 4 other ones you could also use in there. That's kind of what got me hung up, is I didn't construct a very good ticket. And none of the winners did I look back and say, I think I only missed one, and it was in the second leg. Second leg? No, I had the second leg. Mucho Unusual.
Yeah.
you know, here's a case where it frustrates me because Pratt, you know, you really got to keep an eye. I like to keep an eye on the top riders, and I like to see where they land because, you know, for a trainer to go and it's centimeter right now, they're two guys I look at. I look at Pratt and I look at Bayrano. I want to know where they end up and kind of figure out why they're on the horses they're on. Certainly Pratt. I think Pratt on Mucho Unusual picked my head up. And I didn't mind that she was, you know, she'd won cowbred races because her last win was outstanding. When she won the Cal Cup Oaks, she looked awesome. And she's been a force in all of her races. And it looks like she really liked the turf. The turf, she moved up on the turf last time. So that didn't scare me. What turned me off was that she'd been gone. She wins on the 18th of February. She wins the cowbred race like a monster. And then she's gone March, April, May. She's gone for 3 months, and that's never a good sign. And her workouts coming back, she had like four listed works. She had a three quarters and 15 and four again. And this is something I want to remind Santa Anita players. We got to remember that Santa Anita racetrack is different now. It's deeper. The workouts are not quite as fast. And I think horses are getting more out of the workouts. But still, I didn't think she'd done quite enough to be ready to fire in this spot. And that's kind of what threw me off. And I thought it was a challenging race on the surface. I used Out of Balance, who finished second at a decent price. I used Ellie Arroway, the sharp, even though I hate maidens to winners. She won so sharply and she trained so well. I thought, well, maybe, you know, she. I used Velvet Queen, the Baltus horse. In fact, I used both Baltus horses. Strike at Dawn, the Tampa Invader coming from Chad Brown, first start for Richard Baltus, the new face, and Velvet Queen, who I thought was. She finished third, and I thought, you know, she finally might be back on track to regain a two-year-old form. But I was surprised at Mucho Unusual. She surprised me. But I think in a couple races, that was the way this Rainbow Six was laid out, where you had to go deep in two races, I thought, at least two. And the rest of them, you had to use two or three. I didn't think there was a real hang your hat on it single. So it made it difficult.
I had similar experience.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I don't know if this is correct the way I think about it. I could be wrong, but it seems to make sense to me. If it's a 20-cent wager and it pays $3,000, what's the equivalent of a $2? Can you say, well, then the $2 pick six it should have paid what? $50,000?
Five times ten. No, time yeah, times ten.
Oh, ten times. Yeah, $30,000. Okay, right. So, and when I think about it, I think about the card, and I think about the winners, and think about the big carryover. And all the money was at stake. That's about right to me, I guess. I don't know if that works out mathematically because I'm a horrible math guy, but it just feels that way. You know, it feels like it wasn't favorites, it wasn't bombs, but it was that middle kind of card that you get sometimes. And of course, if you're making out a $2 pick six, if this had been a $2 pick six. And you had to play it. If you had to play this card as a $2 pick six, it would have been infinitely more difficult because
obviously sure. you couldn't go as deep. You know, so
yeah,
yeah, it would, you know, would have been really hard then. But anyway, I think a good result to spread the money out, share the wealth, $3,000 for a 20-cent wager. You know, yes, you earned it, and that's a nice payoff. I would have been happy with that. I'm glad it wasn't, you know, 300 or 600 or something like that, even though it's a nice payoff, and many people are happy when that happens. 3,000 is a little more, meaty, and I think commensurate with the difficulty of the card.
Yeah, agreed. Then you look at the. I mentioned this earlier at the start of the show when I referenced that you had a third choice. That was top brass, and frankly, I was kind of put off by top brass by a kind of a middling workout opinion. Then you had the favorite in Mucho Unusual, second choice, rather nosy, third choice in La Muna, who I wasn't crazy about, Mucho Gusto, who I did like. I thought Mucho Gusto, what was notable about Mucho Gusto's performance stretching back out is how he rated. And look forward to talking to Baffert because I had that similar conversation just now with Brett Calhoun about stretching back out his Pat Day mile winner. And then the fourth choice in that Tequila Blanco. And you juxtapose that with New York on Saturday where you had 149,000 coming in, and you had 7-1 War Treaty open that sequence, and he wasn't impossible to get to, but I don't know, he was 1, 2, 3, the fourth choice. Then you did have the favorite, the logical favorite, Passport to Victory, and I think I only used two there. Gotham Gala, this is actually, I'll put Gotham Gala aside because that was part of the other interesting story, the cross country, but then Dream Friend was a $27 horse in the third leg. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the sixth choice. Then Dakota's Dude, who was 11-1, and it wasn't impossible, but there were three or four others you were going to use probably ahead of him. And in fact, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 was the seventh choice. Holiday Disguise, I thought that whole field, I thought almost anybody could have won that Dancing Renee, not just the two sisters. And then in the nightcap, you had a terrible, one of those quandaries where you had, I used the old Andy Serling quote, you know, bad horses win bad races, and you have to be aware of all kinds of crazy things. And you had the favorite win, but you had a 44-1 shot that looked like he had a real chance late in the race, that Cataract for Dave Donk, 44-1. So this was a brutal, brutal pick six, and you needed to go deep. It returned $120,350. And the other sequence, the cross country, which was, you had a bit of both, make the transition to turf sprinting for Jason Service and Michael Dubb and company. That was logical. 540 as the favorite. But the other horse was tough to come by, that Gotham Gala, almost 8-1. And that, there was a single winner of the cross-country pick five, 43,158, only one winner.
I haven't jumped into that yet.
Oh, it's fun. It's fun.
There's so much right now. You know, you've got down at Gulfstream, you've got that the Rainbow Six, which is, I don't know, they've got to be up around $2.5 million or close to it in that pot. And so what happens when these 20-cent jackpots get that big, you get, I don't want to use the term value for your money, but it may be value. I just think that term is overused. I have to come up with a better word. You get more juice for your buck, I think, when these carryovers reach a certain point where, you know, a 20-cent Rainbow Six will come back, mostly favorites, where it should pay, $100, and it'll pay $500.
you know, because the pools are so big now, people are chasing. And, you know, there's a lot of big money in there going for a single ticket. And when it is more manageable, when a few favorites win and the little guy can jump in and take the money, it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad opportunity. The difference is you have to like playing those, you know, the Gulfstream races, and you know you have to enjoy, you know, the turf racing down there and be able to handicap that. And I don't mind it. I can handicap anywhere. I'm not a snob. I mean, I'll take races anywhere, and if the deal's right. So you've got that thing. Then you have the giveaway at Sanity. You have the double carryover at Belmont. You have the cross country. You have the Stronach 5 on Friday. You had Saturday night at Churchill, and you wanted to get involved. Excuse me. I got involved in the pick five there because I was going to be, you know, playing the whole thing. By the way, if anyone else comes up with the idea to do that Saturday night racing thing, that might catch on. That might be okay.
That's a special night there. That's a special night.
Is that what it is? That we won't. Okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, but no, yeah, particularly. But it's just, you know, giving, you know, between the Derby Trophy, and, I mean, it's really become a big deal, Foster Night.
Oh yeah, I know you were there. What, a couple?
No, it was unbelievable.
For,
it was tremendous.
Year, right?
Yeah.
And yes, it is. You're right. It is a special night, and the card was very entertaining. It was an enjoyable night of racing. I just meant that it was nice to have something. Maybe because my wife was out, she'd gone down the shore, and I had to stay home. So maybe because I was alone on Saturday night, and I was kind of, I had the TV control. Usually I don't have control of the control. I am uncontrolled. But that might have added spice to Saturday night racing from Churchill. So the timing was perfect. My
nice.
beginning point was there are so many of these multi-leg wagers, and the rewards are so fruitful whenever you can, you know, find the right combination. The issue is that if you're playing all these types of wagers around the country, you're tying up your money, you know, so there are race by race opportunities that you're missing, and you are missing out on information. For example, if you talk about the fifth race at Santa Anita, the second leg of the force out pick six yesterday, and you talk about Mucho Unusual, which I explained why I wasn't, what turned me off about her. If I see the tote board, I'm turned back on. I mean, if I see that she's being played, you know, that kind of makes me feel much better. I'm going to have to use her. I'm going to have to do something with her. But in these multi-leg wagers, okay, you're right. You can do can you look forward? You can look at double probables.
That's the best you can do, yeah.
Yeah, that's the best you can do. So I should have done that, but I guess to get back to my original point, when you're doing too many of these things, you miss little, you know, clues along the way, and you end up, all you have to do is lose one race, and all these things are busted up. All you have to do is not be on your game in one spot, and you pick whatever's done. So, you know, we talked about the awful slump that I was in, and you offered some advice. You said, well, you know, along with other people, I got plenty of advice on how to break out of the slump, and I appreciate every single bit of advice that I got, because as long as I've been in this game, over 40 years, I know one thing about it. Nobody knows Nobody knows. We're all trying to get it right, and nobody knows. So I love to listen to all bits of advice. Your advice was cut back from pick six, pick five, pick four. Whatever you're playing, cut back one notch.
Yep.
So I took some of that advice, not as much this week, the week before, for like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and excuse me, it worked. It worked. I hit a couple of pick threes that I pressed. You know, I didn't have them once. I had them 10, 20 times, but that's good. They pay pretty well when you have them 10 or 20 times. And so it was like, you know, it's like I dropped down in class. I was only picking three instead of six. It made it a lot easier. And then if you've got them rolling, you have to be careful now. You can't roll them because now you're playing a pick six if you're rolling them all the way through. But the point is picking three is easier than picking four or five or six. Obviously, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure that out. But you're going to hit a few more of them. You're going to be right more often than you're going to be right about the other ones. It's going to make you feel better. It's going to keep you from pressing. And then when you do play your pick five and your pick sixes, you're going to have more bullets. You know, it just helps everything. It helps the flow of money, the flow of psyche, you know, the flow of the afternoon. So that was good advice. And I know you know it's good advice. You wouldn't have given it out. But it helped me. The other thing that really helped is sticking with one race and picking a winner. You know, go back to basics, go back to, you know, just waiting for your pitch, picking the winner of a race. That helped too because I picked a couple of nice winners that built up the bankroll and reminded me that I actually did know something about horse racing, which I thought I had, and somehow the game had passed me by and I was done and it was over. But go back to just picking a winner and then start to move up. Exactly. Trifecta. You know, get back into the swing of things. So that stuff helped me. I ended up getting a nice pick four that I think I had two pick fours that got me back rolling again in a bigger way. But the pick threes definitely helped. Picking single winners definitely moved. You know, got me back in the game. Got my swing back to where I needed it to be. I haven't got the golf swing back, but we got the horse racing cut back.
One thing at a time.
Yeah. poor Will, my good friend Will Schwartz, who you know, invited me to his club for a multi-day member guest tournament. And I gave him the caveat beforehand. This is going to be ugly. I said, are you sure you still want me in this thing? Yeah. Come on. Okay. So I went, and it was bad. But it wasn't as bad as it could have been. I explained that to him. It could have been really ugly. But we finished second in our division, which was perfect. Because if we would have won the division, we would have had to go on to a playoff, you know, to meet the winners of the other divisions. And we had already played, I think, what, three days of golf. And I told him, I said, you know, I'm okay with finishing this right now because I don't want to play more and have some really good players just absolutely destroy us. So we did well enough so that my man could keep his head up at his club. He can walk around head held high knowing that the that the idiot he brought with him, taking the divots all over the course, was okay on some holes, and we were respectable. So that respectable is good oftentimes.
Well done. Well, people have been worried. You know, they were worried when you went through that tale of woe a few weeks ago between the physical ailment, then you followed it up with preparing to meet the fate is Al Swearingen. You were in that mode. So it's very good that you've lifted your head and have picked up the pace. Speaking of that, I want to get one thing in before we wrap up. And I just retweeted, or didn't retweet it, I initiated it. I took the video from yesterday's Pegasus event at Monmouth. And I tell you, nothing the internet loves better than making snap judgments. 102 buyer for King for a day, and 100 for Maximum Security, who has now strung together four straight 100-plus buyers. No other horse has done that. And I love the pronouncements. Oh, the announcement of his retirement. It's imminent. It's just unbelievable. The internet did not have a good weekend. And I'm not just talking racing. Twitter had a terrible weekend. But that race was actually very good. And you could tell that King for a Day was really running. And giving him everything he could handle, and had him on the outside where you want, where you got an edge, and he took another step forward from the Sir Barton. So King for a Day actually shouldered his way into the picture among the 3-year-olds, and you'll look for him, I suppose, in the Haskell, and Maximum Security. I think he'll be that much tighter for the Haskell himself. So.
Yeah, going in, we kind of...
You had to be question him. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know how I feel about anything leading up to the Derby, any hiccup or... I don't like hiccups in regular races. Anything that's... There was a... You know, the way... We all know the way Jason Service trains. He doesn't work his horse in the usual fashion. However, there's a 24-day gap between... May 22nd and June 15th, but this horse didn't even have a Jason Service workout. I mean, you know, an unusual go slow, go fast, go, you know, whatever Jason does, it certainly works. He didn't even have one of those in 24 days. So, you know, and they took blood before they decided to enter, to look at the horse. We don't hear these things about every race. We hear them about the big races, about the fact it wasn't a good weekend for both Derby winners, especially. Yeah. Country House is the words that he's gone for the season. So, but going in, so you had to say, well, Maximum Security, he's not going to be the Maximum Security we've seen before. The King for a Day, you look at his form, wow, what he did in the Sir Barton. I mean, I know he was heavily favored and all, but this horse, what has he done wrong? He really hasn't done much. His second start of his career, he stretched out and won nicely. His maiden race was a maiden Saratoga race. Complexity, Harvey Wallbanger, he was third with trouble. That's not bad. He's got a right to be a nice horse. But Maximum Security certainly had some gains. Then he stumbles when the gate opens. It wasn't a death knell for him, but it sure didn't help him. I'll tell you that.
Yep.
And then he's got to be rushed a little bit. And on the turn for home, this shows you that he's a nice horse. Go back and watch him on the far turn, just about past the middle of the turn. Luis Saez is all in. I mean, he is scrubbing on this horse like... You know, he's asking him for, everything you've got. And believe me, if you could have wagered right then, I would have thrown maximum security out so far, he would have landed in the next county. He's done, but he doesn't go away. He hangs in there. He gives them everything he's got. And I thought in defeat, you had to be impressed with maximum security. Is he a wonder horse? Is he American Pharaoh? Is he justified? No. We never thought he was. I don't know anyone who thought he was. What we thought is, here's this really nice horse who's got speed, and he keeps going. And that makes horses tough. And that's what he did. He gave you the best he had on Sunday. And the trainer after race, like, I get it. You know, we'll be better next time. You know, these horses are not machines. People say it all the time, but it's true. They're living, breathing creatures. After the Derby, the race he ran in the Derby, forget the incident for a moment. The way he ran, just the way he ran, the tenacity, the gameness that he showed in that race, he gave everything he had. And when they hit the wire, I knew, I was pretty sure, I didn't know because you don't know anything in horse race, I was pretty sure you weren't going to see him for a while. You know, that he had given everything he had. And he didn't have much left. And we didn't see him for a while. Now we saw him, and, you know, instead of a workout, Jason Server said, we'll run him here, and he's probably good enough to win. I don't have him cranked at all. He's probably good enough to just get the job done anyway. It'll get him fit. Let's do it. And you see what happens. A sharp horse jumped up and ran a good race, too.
So. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I didn't actually reach out for Todd, but I do owe Todd a visit because there's a few things I want to get follow-up from him from last week, Marconi, and more. So maybe and Tuesday's usually a pretty good, a typical Todd visit late.
I did enjoy, you're talking about Twitter. I did enjoy the comments about does Pletcher get the $5 million now?
Oh, there was a lot of that. That was cute. That was fine. No, I'm talking about, he should be retired, and he'll never see him again. Annoying.
At the same time, we have to look at all sides of the coin, I think. Look, there's a reason.
There's only two sides of a coin. Three if you took out the edge.
Oh, okay. He did run for 16. I heard the explanation on your show of why he ran for 16. You know, if he's not as good ever again as he was on that first Saturday in May, I will not be surprised. Let's put it that way. But don't for a minute say this was not ever a good horse, because he was.
They're going forward.
He may be again. Yeah.
That's
why they play the game.
Yeah, exactly.
You play to win the game.
Speaking of winning games, Johnny, before we go, want to get them keyed up for the betting challenge this weekend, and big opportunity to win seats. I imagine people need a couple of days to get ready for this.
Well, there's a couple of things we got to keep in mind. One is Ascot, where you've got the at ExpressBet, you've got 0% takeout on the pick fours. So that's something to keep in mind.
Nice.
If you're going to play Ascot, and you really should. I love Ascot. I'm getting ready for Tuesday morning. I'm going to have my tea and crumpets and sit here and watch Ascot Tuesday through Saturday. It's going to be great. I don't wager a lot on the races, but I enjoy watching the pageants.
You will after Kev Humphreys joins us, because Kev is going to give out a bunch of 20-to-1 shots.
I'm going to put a Nick Luck, Kevin Humphreys consensus together, and that'll be
perfect. Perfect.
So that, and then we've got Fun in the Sun coming up.
Right.
We'll talk about that later, but that starts first weekend of Saratoga.
Right, and then how about the betting challenge this weekend?
Betting challenge this weekend, you can play on expressbet.com. And if it meets your budget, that's the question. If you can arrange to go after, the prizes are sensational. So if you can arrange to go after those prizes with, you know, if that's in your game, you know, go for it. Go for it. Sometimes they're a little rich for my blood, but, you know, others can do it. And the prizes are worth it. And,
yeah, it's you're looking at a $3,000 buy-in, which includes a $2,000 bankroll and $1,000 to the prize package. And then Santa Anita and other races will be included. They'll have the specific races after the draws for the weekend on Saturday. So you'll know, you can make decisions about if they're races that you like. Win, place, show, exacta, try, and double wagers. Players bet a minimum of five races at $200 minimum each. And you must bet your entire $2,000 bankroll. No max wagers either. So this is an authentic bankroll challenge. Two NHC seats plus travel allowance, two BCBC seats and travel allowance, two Pegasus betting challenge for next January or February travel allowance, $50,000 cash prize pool anticipated, and tour points are available as well. So great to have ExpressBet full swing back into the seat contest delivery business.
Yeah. You got a handy $3,000 sitting around, go get them.
Exactly.
Go get them.
Exactly.
$2,000 in live money is not, it makes it easier.
Well, I mean, and, you know, I if I added up everything I did over the weekend, it wasn't $2,000, but it was over $1,000. because I did not have a great weekend, I can tell you that. But and I don't know what I was doing, because I spent $30,000 on Friday buying a horse. But of course, we'd won a race on Thursday at 7-1. So I was
congratulations.
I was in the bridle.
We know you crushed them at the window. So.
Well, I participated liberally.
Yeah.
Or happily, let's say that.
When you, everybody thinks that all these horse owners, they kill them at the window. They make them.
No.
But when your horse runs, you're like, I don't. Either they say, I don't want to jinx him, or, if he wins, I'll be happy. I don't need something extra. And if he loses, I'll be mad. I don't need to be aggravated by losing money, too.
Exactly.
It's like
exactly.
Through all the things, and it comes up, you bet a couple bucks on them to say, yeah, I had them, right? But, I know the experience.
Well, Johnny, appreciate it. We're heading toward the end of the first half of the year. I've got to figure out some vacationing. I don't know if we may be off next Monday and next week. We have the wedding on Sunday for Zachary and Andrea, so I think there's no show on Friday, the way things are shaping up, because Tina and I have to go to Central New York Thursday afternoon. So my inclination is heading toward perhaps the next week off. I'm not sure yet, so I'll make that determination later in the week.
All right, you'll make your determination. Let me know.
I will. You'll be advised.
Okay.
All right.
I think so. It was a great weekend, and I'm so glad you were able to squeeze me in this morning. Always Always a pleasure.
Get your pencil handy. Listen carefully. Kev Humphries is going to join us next. We're going to get his take on the first couple of days. We'll get at least the Tuesday and Wednesday pushes from Kev on the Royal Ascot card, and we'll see if maybe, I don't know, if he wants to do later in the week. It'll be too tough to get him. I guess I really should probably have him go as far out as he can, knowing what he knows, because it'll be too busy during the, and I can't, he'll be at the races, and he and his bridie. So I guess maybe we will get more than just Tuesday, Wednesday pushes from Kev. So hour three coming up, Kev Humphreys and John White between now and closing time. Stay with us.